fashion.
Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Fashion.
Fashion?
It's fashion with Penelope Noir.
Morena, Penelope Noir.
Morena.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. That's good to hear. It's a nice morning today. I feel like everyone's got a little pep in their step.
Yeah.
Waking up still, but getting there. And where are we going in the world of fashion today?
Well, I'm kind of liking these street cult kind of labels. So I thought I'd go to Mambo.
Mambo.
Which I remember the name. I remember the logo of the white writing and script on a red background.
Yep.
And then I delved deeper and I was like, oh, yeah. And it had a dog that was farting a musical note.
Farting dog. Classic.
Yes. And I never wore Mambo, but I did go. And it'll become apparent why, because it was
different scene,
so bright, so loud. But it's quite fascinating. So it was, for anyone who doesn't know, it's a surfing kind of wetsuit, surf skate label that was established by Dear Jennings and Andrew Rich in 1984. And interestingly, Dear Jennings actually had, let's say, as in D-A-R-E, had a record shop and record label called Phantom Records. And
true.
If you're a fan of psych and rock and roll and things like that, you probably know this shop, which was in Sydney. I'm actually not sure if it's still there. And his co-owner of that store and label, I think, was the manager of Radio Birdman.
Okay, right.
Yeah, so it had been around like since the late 70s.
Yeah.
But Dear Jennings also had Phantom textiles, like, and it was a screen printing company quite early on, and so they were just working out of garage making t-shirts and fabric prints for various commercial kind of people, and basically they also had a Phantom art room where they invited different graphic designers or graphic artists to come along and just kind of play around.
That's so cool.
And yeah, one of whom was Richard Allen, who was the one who created Call of the Wild in brackets farting dog. I've never got that kind of humor, but you know.
I can remember like Mambo being the coolest thing, like someone's cooler older sibling in the same vein as like Ed Hardy. That's where my cool babysitters had that, but I feel like it was someone's older brother had a Mambo t-shirt and a skateboard and they were the coolest, you know, like that was the world it sort of existed in for me as a kid.
Yeah, so when I remember people skateboarding in Aotea Square early on when you were, I'm not sure if you were allowed to, it was kind of like Stussy and Vision Streetwear and things like that.
Yeah.
And I think Mambo was in there as well.
True, right.
Yeah, but I remember Stussy quite well. But they had, like, in the end, they worked with over 250 graphic artists, which is pretty cool, including ceramicist and jeweler Jerry Weld, musician Reg Mombasa, who was in Mental as Anything. He created the Australian Jesus kind of iconic print.
Totally.
Cartoonist Matthew Martin. And I just thought I'd read this kind of bit out. The art features surreal suburban landscapes populated by vomiting dogs, horned bulls, boxy fibro houses, they had wings on them, and Australian insects such as bogon moths.
Whoa.
Balmain High School used a Mambo print for its school uniform.
Really?
Yeah, and then probably most famously in 2000, Mambo also designed the Australian Olympic team's uniforms for the Sydney Olympic
costumes.
Yeah. Sydney Olympic Games. I want to say costumes because honestly, it's just so bright and loud.
Yeah.
When John Lydon from Public Image went to Australia in 1988, there's pictures of him completely dressed in Mambo.
Oh, yeah.
They also, like most surf skate kind of labels we've already talked about, used celebrity to really market.
Mm-hmm.
Like they sponsored the Ramones coming in 1989. And they also created surf shorts as merch, which is kind of weird when you think about the Ramones being quite slim New York and
from the beach. Yeah,
definitely. But they kind of, the cool thing about them was that they were not afraid to be political. So they would, they had a t-shirt that was Pauline Hanson redneck shirt. And every shirt sold like $15 went to the National Aborigine, National Aboriginal and Island Estate Development Association.
That's
so they
awesome.
Were always giving back to the community. And, you know, had nuclear-free
images. I think I can remember those designs quite well, the nuclear-free ones. That's stuck in my brain as an iconic Mambo image,
Yeah. And I wondered, actually, because I was thinking about Crowded House albums, album covers, and I wondered whether there was a similar... Because there's, like, flying houses and things like that on the first album, and I wondered whether an artist from Mambo may have contributed to that.
Oh, that'd be interesting to find out. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
They are such an iconic label, and they're still... like, I think, pretty sought after if you can track down, like, the original Mambo. I was in an op shop up north, like, a year ago with a bunch of my friends, and two of them put their hand on a Mambo shirt at the same time, and I was like, there's going to be a punch-up in this op shop because everyone wants this classic farting dog Mambo shirt that was, like, $5 or something. But it's quite, like... timeless in a way, the sort of image of it. It's very 80s, very 2000s, all at the same time, you know?
Yeah, and they sold in 2001 to an Australian company, and then again in 2015, Sabin Brands, who also own Paul Frank, if you know that label.
Yes, yeah.
Bought Mambo and just kind of expanded it. But it was like over-licensed, I guess, as much as, you know, it can be with those sorts of things. But I kind of like the fact that they work with so many different artists. Like, I think it's really cool that they definitely kind of, gave back to the community, weren't afraid to be political.
And we're from this side of the world as well. I think that's totally unique too, because there was a lot of international streetwear coming over, and this was something that maybe was a bit more antipodean and reflected something going on here. We've got a text from someone who says, I was 8 or 10 and had multiple Mambo t-shirts and shorts that I would wear together in different combos. It was also a big time for Stussy indeed and Mossimo too.
Yeah.
They were a bit more street. Mambo was different to the other staples of Rip Curl and Billabong. So kind of crossing into that like skate world more than maybe those other labels were.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
But yeah, so if you've got time on your hands, I recommend looking at the images because they're amazing, you know, it's really cool.
And they're funny. They're really funny and really clever. Yeah, for sure. Even, you know, the fart joke, it's still funny. It's a classic.
I'm just like, oh.
I am 10 years old at heart, so it's great for me. Thank you for bringing us Mambo this morning, Penelope Noir. What track have you picked to go with this?
I've chosen Hoodoo Gurus because they were on the Phantom label, and it's What's My Scene.
Yeah. I've been wondering lately, am I crazy to believe in ideals?
This is the Hoodoo Gurus with What's My Scene. Penny also forgot to mention, but told us to say that Dear Jennings then went on from running Mambo to running Deus Ex Machina, which is still ongoing. Someone's also texted in to say, every Christmas I got a Mambo t-shirt from my Australian cousins. So gutted I got rid of them. And has asked if we remember the cheaper version Rip and Tear. I don't, but...
No, I don't either.
Maybe you at home do. Text us on 5395.
That was Fashion with Penelope Noir.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.
Beep, beep.